Try being aware of subtle emotional qualities you may be embodying at various times of the day, as well as during your sitting practice. Pay particular attention to your hands. Does their position make a difference? See if you don't become more mindful by becoming more bodyful. As you practice being more in touch with your hands in sitting meditation, see if this doesn't have an influence on the way you touch. Everything from opening a door to making love involves touch. It's possible to open a door so mindlessly that your hand doesn't know what your body's doing and you hit yourself in the head with it. Imagine the challenge of touching another person without automaticity, with no gaining idea, just presence and caring. Coming out of meditation. The moments towards the end of a period of formal meditation have their own tricky topology. Mindfulness can become lax with the anticipation of finishing. How you handle this is important. It's precisely such transitions that challenge us to deepen our mindfulness and extend its range. Toward the end of a period of formal practice, if you're not particularly attentive, before you know it, you'll be off doing something else with no awareness whatsoever of how the meditation came to an end. The transition will be a blur at best. You can bring mindfulness to this process by being in touch with the thoughts and impulses which tell you it's time to stop. Whether you've been still for an hour or for 3 minutes, a powerful feeling all of a sudden may say, "This is enough," or you look at your watch and it's the time you said you would quit. In your meditation practice, especially when you're not using a tape for guidance, see if you can detect the very first impulse to quit and any others that may follow, growing in strength. As you recognize each impulse, breathe with it for a few moments and ask yourself, "Who has had enough?" Try looking into what is behind the impulse. Is it fatigue, boredom, pain, impatience, or is it just time to stop? Whatever the case, rather than automatically leaping up or moving on, try lingering with whatever arises out of this inquiry, breathing with it for a few moments or even longer, and allowing the moving out of your meditation posture to be as much an object of moment-to-moment awareness as any other moment in the meditation. Practicing like this can increase mindfulness in many different situations that involve closing or ending something and moving on to something else. It can be as simple and brief as being in touch with closing a door, or as complicated and painful as when an era in your life comes to an end. So much automaticity can creep into closing a door because it's so unimportant in the overall scheme of things, unless the baby is sleeping. But it is precisely because it is relatively unimportant that closing the door mindfully activates and deepens our sensitivity, our capacity to be in touch with all our moments, and smooths out some of the deeper wrinkles of our habitual unconsciousness. Curiously, just as much, if not more, mindless behavior can creep into our most momentous closures and life transitions, including our own aging and our own dying. Here, too, mindfulness can have healing effects. We may be so defended against feeling the full impact of our emotional pain, whether it be grief, sadness, shame, disappointment, anger, or for that matter, even joy or satisfaction, that we unconsciously escape into a cloud of numbness in which we do not permit ourselves to feel anything at all or know what we are feeling. Like a fog, unawareness blankets precisely those moments that might be the most profound occasions to see impermanence at work, to be in touch with the universal and impersonal aspects of being and becoming that underlie our personalized emotional investments, to touch the mystery of being small, fragile, and temporary, and to come to peace with the absolute inevitability of change. In the Zen tradition, group sitting meditations are sometimes ended with a loud wooden clacker which is whacked together forcefully. No romantic lingering with the sound of a soft bell to ease the end of a sitting. The message here is to cut. Time to move on now. If you're daydreaming, even slightly, when the clacker goes off, the sound will startle you and thereby point out how little you were actually present in that moment. It reminds you that the sitting is already over, and now we are in a new moment, to be faced anew. In other traditions, the gentle ring of a bell is used to mark the end of group sittings. The softness of the bell brings you back too, and also points out whether your mind was on the loose at the moment it rang. So when it comes to ending a sitting, soft and gentle is good, and hard and loud is good. Both remind us to be fully present in moments of transition, that all endings are also beginnings, that what is most important, in the words of the Diamond Sutra, is to develop a mind that clings to nothing. Only then will we be able to see things as they actually are and respond with the full range of our emotional capacity and our wisdom. From the Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu, the master sees things as they are without trying to control them. She lets them go their own way and resides at the center of the circle.